Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor and the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're also on Dash Radio on their Nothing But Net channel. That's every single weeknight at 7 p.m. Also, check out Five Reasons YouTube as we speak, as we're recording this post up 5R. It's going on. That's after every Heat game hosted by Royal Shepherd. And before Floor, an hour before every game. Make sure you hit subscribe, because that's not all we do there. We got plenty of streams going all day and all night long. Also, fivereasonsports.com. No paywall, unlike the newspapers. Get the latest takeaways from Brady Hawk, who will be joining us tonight, and others. And also check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Of so many of our sponsors here are local, including our friends over at You Break Wheel Fix. All right, if you haven't checked them out yet, you need to. I actually had two people reach out to me today. They're like, what's that company down in North Miami? It's You Break Wheel Fix. Talking about culture, the wheel repair, refinish, and custom wheel specialist. They offer you the big three of all your car wheel needs with over 20 years of experience. You Break Wheel Fix repairs damaged wheels from curb rash, cracks, or bends, all under one roof with in-house powder coating, CNC machining, and polishing. They also offer new custom wheels and tires from your favorite brands, such as Voss and Fuel Off-Road, just to name a couple. And they now offer no credit check financing up to $5,000 for a new set of wheels. So check out You Break Wheel Fix. They're in North Miami, right off of Biscayne and Northeast 146th Street. You can check them out on Facebook and Instagram with that name as well, You Break Wheel Fix, or on the phone at 305-748-0112. That's 305-748-0112. Mention Five Reasons. You'll get a discount when you schedule your appointment. You Break Wheel Fix, changing the way that you see wheels. And now, tonight's episode. Down to Biscayne.
Yay. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard. Couple scars. Wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buck said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got it all banned. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. Impact we trust. Inspire, have the guts. We here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, Ethan Skolnick back on Five on the Floor. Here's tonight's floor plan. We are going to do an autopsy on the Heat's most heartbreaking loss of the season. They lose by one in Milwaukee, a game that they led late by 14 after a slow start. They picked it up. They got an incredible overall performance from Tyler Hero, although a big turnover late. They got Gabe Vincent going nuts in the third quarter. They got a big game, especially early, from Duncan Robinson, which I did project on the pregame show. And they got one of Jimmy Butler's worst performances in a big game for the Miami Heat. We're going to talk about all of it, what happened at the end of the game. We were going to go a totally different direction. I've got Greg Sylvander here. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. He's sponsored here by Water Cleanup of Florida. We'll tell you more about them later. And Brady Hawk, who is sponsored by Eric Rubenstein. We'll tell you more about him later as well. But Greg, with about 5 minutes left in this game, and we were on our new off the floor platform, you know, communicating with some of our subscribers there, I thought we were going to be talking about this topic, that the Miami Heat could overcome a bad performance from Jimmy Butler, which they tend to get against the Bucks, okay? And Milwaukee could not overcome a bad performance or a subpar performance from Giannis Antetokounmpo. And then the tables totally flip with late game execution again. So we're going to, again, autopsy this with you and Brady. But your overall thought here, I mean, is this as simple as if Kyle Lowry plays, this is different? Or have we seen enough of these collapses and inability to execute late in games offensively that it's a serious concern?
It's a concern. There's no doubt. Like, I don't think that it would be disingenuous for me to say it's not a concern. I don't think it's necessarily like a fatal flaw, as I think there are others that think that's so. I mean, if you just look at this game, they shot almost 48% from three on high volume. Usually when they shoot 47.7% from three, 21 of 44, they're going to win the game. So this was an anomaly of a game. There's nights like this where you got a scrappy contender that knows how to win, that sticks around a ball game. The Heat have been that team before, and then you squeak out a victory that you didn't think you were going to get. The Heat have gotten some of those this season. So I feel like some of that just evens itself out. So the loss itself, I'm less concerned about. And I know that like everybody wanted the Heat to run roughshod between these four teams. What is it? Chicago, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia. And Brady and I have talked, you know, two and two, three and one, you know, we'd like to be somewhere in that neighborhood, and they're still trending in that direction. But the late game stuff, and particularly as it relates to Jimmy, it's getting weird. And when you see Tyler, although he had two late turnovers, two decisions I didn't love, and Bam starting to at least take those shots and make those shots in certain scenarios, I guess it's encouraging, but it's like, when is that transition going to happen? And will it happen soon enough to impact the moments that they're going to need come playoff time, you know, in 23 games or so?
Well, the big picture here, and then we'll get to the breakdown. The big picture is, in some ways, they could have buried Milwaukee in terms of catching them. I mean, you could have had the tiebreaker tonight. I mean, if you just closed the last 3 or 4 minutes and you would have gone up 4-5 games on them with the tiebreaker, I mean, essentially means you wouldn't be dealing with a postseason series that starts in Milwaukee. I mean, that's what was lost here at the end of the game. It is significant. I mean, it would be one thing if they hadn't rebounded from the first quarter. Like last year's Heat team would have folded after the first, okay? Because Milwaukee was, it was total outlier performance in terms of the way that they were shooting. Even though Giannis was in foul trouble early, couldn't really get anything going, the way that Middleton were playing and some of the others were playing, you know, you would have gotten blown out of the building last year. That almost might have felt better, I think, because you had this one. I mean, you rallied, you showed you were a different team, but you're still not the right team in the last 5 minutes of games. I do want to get to the end game here first, and then we're going to go back to Jimmy, because the reality is Jimmy wasn't really a factor in the last 3 or 4 minutes, almost by design, because, I mean, they did go to Bam for the hook. Tyler did have the ball in his hands. Tyler did make that raise up shot to get to 30. So let's just break down the end of the game, Brady, and then after the break, we'll get into the thing we have to talk about, which is that Jimmy Butler comes up small against this team. I mean, you're going back to last year in the postseason. I know he played well in the bubble against them, although he elevated more in the next series. But Brady, what happened at the end? Like, what was the single biggest problem to you?
Well, there are a couple of things. For one, everything looks forced at that point in the game. And my issue is, first off, that I feel like isn't discussed enough, is that they basically go into a 3-man offense. And every possession late in the game, if you go back over, even think about it right now, it's PJ in the corner, it's Gabe in the other corner, and there's no movement there. And when you go back the 45 minutes before that point and look over the game, Gabe Vincent's not sitting in the corner. He's moving around. He's setting screens. He's doing all this other stuff that it just seems like they abort whatever they do before that point. And it feels like, speaking of the forceful part, Tyler made that big shot, but even the possession before that, they knew Tyler was getting the ball. They knew he was going to try to create, and that's not his strength. Like, we know what he can do. We know that 30 points, what he was able to dissect. But when they're absolutely hounding him, doubling him out at the perimeter and making him do something, that's just not his strength. What he did, he fed inside to Bam. Bam hit a big shot there late. But other than that, there was really nothing working there. That it just feels like that's kind of where I come down at, is that they have to play to their strengths. They're not a one-on-one team. They don't have a Kevin Durant. They don't have a Giannis. They don't have a Jason Tatum who's going to close it out late in games. They have a team. They have a team offense that they revolve themselves around for the 48 minutes across the game, that the final 3 minutes cannot be who has it rolling tonight. Is it Tyler? Let's give him the ball. Does Bam have a good matchup? Let's give him the ball. It has to be, let's keep the offense flowing in some type of fashion that you try to create a good look. Because specifically against this Bucks team, which I'm sure if we could touch on Tyler a bit more, they crowd the paint so much in this drop. Like, this isn't a normal drop. Like, they crowded so much that Tyler was getting early on to the paint, getting to that floater that he gets to, and it was not there, that he began to realize, oh, I'm going to get into my pull-up a bit more. That's an issue. Like, when late in games, you're trying to force it inside against this Bucks team, and it's just nothing, no reason to. There's just definitely, like, there's part of this. I know you just mentioned the tiebreakers and everything, but I'm not as worried about this specific game as I am talking about the specifics of late game offense, because there's not many things on this team that you should be worried about. Like, they have a lot of strengths. They have a few weaknesses, but this is one of the few weaknesses.
Well, let me go to you again before I go back to Greg on this. I mean, Eric Spoelstra is one of the most creative, flexible coaches in the NBA. Okay. I mean, I know that he has a reputation for stubbornness in some areas, but we've seen his ability to adapt, right? His slogan is adapt or die. Why is this happening with him coaching this team in the last 3 minutes? I mean, is it just the lack of options? Is it Jimmy being headstrong? Because again, Jimmy was not really a factor in the last 3 minutes. Like, I was waiting for the step back jumpers. They didn't come. What is it? Why is he just keep doing the same thing where he's sticking two guys in the corner?
I think the issue is, you mentioned Jimmy being a non-factor late. Like, that's the issue. Like, mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, he's deferring and he's not having a great night at all, which he should not have had the ball in his hands late. But it's also, when he's a non-factor and he's planted out on the wing, that just means that there's complete nail help when Tyler's driving or Bam's driving. And as you talk about limitations ending, there's just no options really. Like, it's just Bam or Tyler trying to create and say, like, save this possession. It is, like, I feel like we praise Spo on so many occasions that, like, this is one of those things where, specifically on the ATOs, like, we completely talked about those ATOs from the Chicago game, from the Charlotte game. This is one of the ATOs, like, it should have been went away from. Like, that was, like, the first time it didn't work. Teams know it's coming now. Like, it's all over social media that fans know it's coming out of a timeout. You don't think the Milwaukee Bucks know it's coming out of a timeout. So they called the timeout. They came back to it. The adjustment was that instead of having two guys all the way in the backcourt, they were only going to have one, and they had another option there to flash high. And they ended up obviously going up to Jimmy. They didn't get the foul call, and it was a jump ball. But
it should have been a foul, like, damn it.
Yeah, but they're not going to call a foul there. Just like they're not going to call a foul in that building on the other end when Drew, you know, lowers his shoulder. Like, they weren't going to call it. And that's the issue here, is that they keep putting themselves in the situation where the officials decide the games, and because they don't decide them. Okay. I mean, that's the whole thing. And I don't want to be overly critical of them tonight, because again, they're playing the defending champions in that place. A team that has not been playing particularly well of late, that has some pride. Okay. That has, you know, they've got a thing for the Heat to begin with. And, you know, I mean, they still remember being knocked out by him 2 years ago. And, you know, PJ was on their side last year. There's a whole bunch of things that play into this. That's not and they got the doors blown off them in the first quarter. I mean, with all these outlier threes by a team that hasn't shot the ball all that well of late. And so I don't want to be too hard on them, but I'm with both you guys in the sense of this problem at the end of games. It hasn't been solved. We're 19 games left in the season. And we can say Kyle's going to solve it, but Kyle has not been out there with this group late. I don't know that I don't know if he's going to play. He's not going to play tomorrow, most likely. I don't know if he's going to be back Saturday. You're talking about a small sample size. I think, Greg, you and I both think, and you mentioned this to me today, Jimmy may take some games off here. I don't know that their top four guys, and throw PJ in there as the fifth, are going to play a ton of minutes together the last 19 games of the season, right? I mean, they've hardly played any already. Then you're going to be working Vic in. Okay.
Maybe he's going to play those guys. You know,
right.
Like,
right. You know, I don't know what you do with this. So that's what I'm saying. Like, this problem is not just going to correct itself. I don't think. Like, that's the one thing they have not fixed.
You're right. And you know what it really boils down to? And this is going to sound a little cliche, but it's, somebody's going to have an unbelievable individual effort. And like, that's going to have to come from somewhere. But it's really tricky because Brady is hitting on something. Like, it must come within the team offense, because that's when this team is clicking. That's when guys are most confident. But there's going to have to be a guy. And to me, y'all, like, it's Tyler Hero. Like, they need to give the ball and just empower him to make these decisions. If he makes bad decisions at times, that's just how it goes. I think that would actually help ease the burden for Jimmy and maybe let him get back on track a little bit. I didn't like how long it took them to get Tyler in the game in the third quarter of this one. And that was before the collapse. So I don't know. I am hoping that they lean more on Tyler Hero to close out this season and just kind of give the ball to him as much as possible.
Well, they did though. That's the thing. Like, I mean, I think that was kind of the object late, but here's my thing about it. And then I do want to go to break and get to Jimmy, is that, you know, you don't really want him handling all that much late, right? Like, that's the thing. And that's where they got in trouble with him trying to split the double team with a pass. And the 4-point lead ends up evaporating there on the other end. So it is tricky because I think the best case scenario, if you're not going to play through Bam, which is something that we've discussed, if you don't want Jimmy to be a bystander there at the end of games, then the ball can be in his hands to create for someone like Tyler and maybe draw a double. But the problem is, I think we're all at the stage, and I'm going to save your responses here for after the break. We're all at the stage where I don't think we really trust that Jimmy will give up the ball in those situations. And so it was almost like better for him not to touch it, but then you're putting it in Tyler's hands. And then even with his increased strength, if they send a double on him, you don't necessarily trust that he's going to be able to maintain possession. So it does come back to Kyle. And that's where I'm going to say, I would just put the ball in Kyle Lowry's hands at the end of games when he comes back. I think that's where we're headed. I think that is the only thing right now that you can trust. And then I don't know what Jimmy's role there is, except as a cutter, essentially, which is something we'll talk about more after the break. They might have been better off with Caleb Martin in there instead of Jimmy at the end of the game. And I never thought that we would say that, but we're going to discuss that after the break. All right. Both of our guys here are sponsored to be on the podcast. You know that Greg's sponsor here is Water Cleanup of Florida. If you're a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim, you're dealing with water, mold, or fire damage, you got to find a reputable, fully licensed, insured, and certified contractor. Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. When a disaster strikes in your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable service. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress that an unexpected disaster may cause. Reach out to Michael, Robert, and their team. They got over 60 years of combined experience. They can handle any size disaster. They're third generation contractors in South Florida. So continuing to maintain their sterling reputation is extremely important to them. They're based in Boca, but they'll service the entire area. And their objective is to make the cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. So reach out to them at watercleanupofflorida.com. That's watercleanupofflorida.com. You can also call Michael directly at 954-579-0356. Again, that's watercleanupofflorida.com. If you've got the schmutz,
they got the guts.
All right, let's handle the Jimmy situation here. It's just such a tricky thing because this franchise wouldn't have gotten off the mat without him. They wouldn't have challenged the Lakers in the finals without him. Okay. He basically made them relevant again. And that is why he gets eternal trust. I don't know if he can get eternal leeway though. And this particular matchup, okay, it's just not good for him. I mean, they switch size onto him. And it just seems that as high a basketball IQ as he has, that there's a stubbornness he plays with against this particular team. And so that's the frustration. And now you're looking at it. He took three more threes tonight. He's at 18% from the season from three. And, you know, as Tim Reynolds tweeted out tonight, of the players who've taken as many threes as him, he's last, okay, out of some 60-something players. So I'll go to you first on this, Brady, because I know Greg's checking out some of the calls here as well. I mean, what do you do here when he's having an off night? Like, what is this? Because players are going to have off nights, okay? And I thought they were going to overcome it tonight. But what is the solution? You take the ball out of his hands? You sit him more? What do you do?
I'll say, first of all, like, 2-for-14 stands out for the field goals, but, like, 2-for-2 from the free throw line. So it stands out more to me because that's when he's been able to do when he has poor nights. He can get to the line and change things. Which, by the way, before we get into this more, 12 free throw attempts for Miami and 27 free throw attempts for Milwaukee. How was Miami even in this game? Like, that number right there just totally confuses me. Aside from that.
Well, they were in the game. They were in the game because Duncan and Tyler went off for three, correct, right? Duncan, correct. Tyler, and Gabe, and Strus. I thought this was Max Strus's best game in about a month. Okay, both ways. But
back to Jimmy. I talked before about when you put him on the wing, there's just immediate nail help there because when Tyler tries to create, look about it in the other direction. There was points in the third quarter specifically when Jimmy when he's usually driving, when he has the ball at the top of the key, there is basically like the Giannis effect where if he drives, he has bodies crashing, as we saw what Miami did with him tonight. Milwaukee wasn't doing that. Like, they were not taking away from that strong side wing. Like, they were just going to let him drive into Giannis, drive into Bobby Portis, and then force him to make a read. But they were not going to drop off a Duncan on the wing on the strong side. They weren't going to drop off a Strus. And that changes things. That changes options. And that's just one part of this. The other part of this, Jimmy, scoring wise, the 0 for 3 in the first half, I think it was from three, just seems odd because three possessions, that's like 0 for 3 is one way to look at it, but I kind of like, it's just three possessions that you're just giving up because it's one thing that you're missing a three, but it's another thing when it's just his type of threes are just kind of selling short of just kind of working harder on the possession where it's just like, we're not going to go to the next option. I'm just going to fire this one up. But it does come back to getting to the line, the attacking stuff. Like he's just trying to drive and try to create something, get to the foul line. And when he's not getting that call, it just looks bad because he's hitting the floor. He's doing all this other stuff and he's not getting the call. And he can't finish around the rim. Like once again, 2 for 14, only 2 assists. Like that's another element of this. Like if we're talking about on and off the ball, like this wasn't one of those games where he's on the ball so much that he's inefficient, but he's also setting up the offense. Like this wasn't one of those games where he was setting up the offense because specifically when Tyler Herro was in the game, Tyler had the ball in his hands this entire game. He was running high pick and rolls and he was the one dissecting this one. So that's where I kind of come down at it, that it's just, I totally agree. Like we talked about this, I think after the Dallas game where we said when they were putting that type of length on him, it bothered him. This is a different beast. When you have a Giannis specifically, it just changes things and it forces him around the basket to not do the things that he can. Because even when we look at the when he succeeds most around the rim, it's when he can draw the mismatch and he can get a smaller guy. When he's best in the mid-range, it's when he has a smaller guy on him to shoot over the top. I think he can get by it eventually. Like, I don't think it's just like, oh, if you have a bigger matchup, Jimmy Butler is a non-factor. But it's going to be a lot tougher for him in a series compared to when he can draw a mismatch.
But I think, Greg, I think here's where the big problem comes in. He doesn't have a counter right now. See, the Jimmy Butler who was deadly at times from mid-range in Minnesota and during that, you know, time in Philadelphia, that was a counter. There is no counter right now when he's swallowed up near the rim and he's not getting foul calls. And I think in games like this, I think we're the next level. And again, I mean, he's in terms of high IQ players, he's top 10 in Heat history. I mean, he can figure things out. He's not the kind of guy you would think of as being incredibly stubborn, but in certain matchups in certain games, I think he has to recognize that, right? Like I don't have a counter in this matchup and, you know, continuing to kind of press the action as he did tonight for long stretches doesn't work. Their best lineup tonight was the lineup with Bam, Herro, Strus, Martin, and Vincent. Okay.
Yeah.
Without Jimmy on the floor and space. Right. So, I mean, I just think the idea that's happening, but then he's still pressing here. Dwayne kind of knew when not to. Okay. Not, yes, he would choke the game down at the end of it at times, and it frustrated us with some of the step back stuff late in his career. But also I felt like when he realized he didn't have the right counters, he would defer a little bit more. I felt like Jimmy forced it tonight.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. Like we talked about when Jimmy first arrived in Miami, how we noticed how he would kind of each game figure out what they needed and then go from there. And early on, he was getting really high assist games when he first got to Miami. And that was something maybe Heat fans didn't necessarily anticipate him being able to do. So it shows that he has the, you know, the capacity to approach a game maybe with more of a playmaking mindset, a passer's mindset, and maybe that's what they need from him, you know, just within the flow of the offense right now. Since he doesn't have a counter, maybe that counter needs to be, and I mean, I don't want to talk about Jimmy Butler as a decoy, like let's not go too far, but it's more about like in those moments when he's going to take a tough step back turnaround, like let's look for movement, find a guy moving and try to get a shot off. Like, and I just think that some of those things, it's hard. You get tunnel vision in a game, so it's difficult to play Monday morning quarterback with Jimmy. But I mean, that's the only thing I could think of, is that like maybe he needs to become more of a facilitator, especially with Kyle out tonight, for him to not take on that responsibility. I thought it kind of left Gabe out there as really the only guy who was getting them organized.
All right, we're going to ask a couple philosophical questions. We come back, and of course, the Heat play the Nets tomorrow, so we'll get into that a little. Before we do, we mentioned Brady's appearances here, sponsored by our friend Eric Rubenstein. He's a personal injury attorney. He can handle everything in that space. Okay, whether it's a car accident, a slip and fall, medical malpractice, got to check out his Instagram account. It's Ask About Me, I Got You. I have said before, this is the most entertaining account that you'll ever see from a personal injury attorney. Check it out. If there's a Heat player in history, he's probably taking a picture with that person. Ask About Me, I Got You, 954-829-ERIC. But more seriously, he's a great attorney. He's got a law degree from St. Thomas right here in South Florida. He graduated magna cum laude. He grew up in a personal injury law family, so it's been part of his life. His whole life, and he will get you the money that you deserve. And that's the single most important thing. So reach out to Eric. Again, it's 954-829-ERIC. Eric Rubenstein. You can also find him at Ask About Me, I Got You. We've talked a lot, and I did some. I feel like I've been talking about the Heat all day, starting nine episode. Are they a regular season team? Are they a playoff team? And this thing that always comes up is, you know, to be a playoff team, you got to be able to close games, but also your best players have to be great. And, you know, we saw tonight Tyler Hero kind of take over. We've seen that happen here over the last four games where he has played at a very high level. He's shooting over 50% over the last four, okay? And he's getting to his spots. He's closing in traffic. And yes, okay, he's not immune from criticism tonight because he had a couple of huge turnovers at the end of the game, which he's had at times in the fourth quarter. We saw Bam with the baby hook, okay, in the last 4 minutes tonight, okay, and then go to him in a way that they don't typically go to him. I'll ask this. Jimmy Butler is still the franchise bearer here. I mean, there's no question about it. But, I mean, if this team's going to win a championship, isn't there going to have to be even more of a transition here over the last 19 games? I mean, because it just feels like because of some of the limitations that Jimmy has athletically – against some of these teams where they've kind of thrown the book at him, they know how to play him, that you're going to have to get maybe not just the mega leap from Bam, but which we've talked about, but the mega leap from Tyler. Is that fair, Brady?
I'm actually going to go in a different direction and say that it is Bam. Like we talked about the Tyler element already, that if they want to take that next step and specifically late game, Bam is the outlet to kind of change this. And you mentioned the baby hook, but there was also the possession where I told you when said before that Tyler hit him with the pocket pass, he got to the middle floor, hit that jumper. Whenever we look at late game opportunities for Bam and those type of plays, it's always up against the shot clock. It's a double sent out to a guy on the perimeter. Like if we're talking about they don't have many options, give Bam the ball on an isolation on the wing, on the inner wing. Like that's what they need to get to. If they can get to that point where they can trust that, okay, this guy cannot stay with Bam, as we already know. Give the ball to Bam, clear out, and let him make a play. If they are so worried about Bam, they help off, then you make the kick out. Like, that feels more likely just moving forward when you're saying if Jimmy doesn't have it going. That if I just look back at it, like, Tyler can make plays, Jimmy can make plays when they have it going. But in the big scheme of things, if this team is a finals team, they're going to need their second best player on this team and Bam Adebayo to make plays. And as you said before, like, I don't want to totally like say that Kyle Lowry fixes everything, but I'd like to see Kyle have the ball in his hands late. Like if we're talking about before about they don't have a single guy that can just take over and this is a team offense, they need to run it like a team offense. And the way to run it like a team offense is to have Kyle Lowry at the head of the snake. And we've seen it work when he's done it. Like there hasn't been many times because there's been other guys out. But I even think back to that Clippers game where he made the run, they ended up losing. But I wouldn't say there was late game issues in that game because he at least kept them and matched them offensively in that game. That when Kyle's running stuff, at least he can get the ball to Bam in his spots. He can get the ball to Tyler. He can maybe screen for Jimmy. Like they feel like there's more outlets with Kyle that they need to find ways to kind of incorporate him that way.
Yeah, because as good as Gabe has been, they're not going to trust him in those situations to make those plays. So that's the issue. And then the ball ends up in Tyler's hands or it ends up in Jimmy's hands. Is that fair, Greg, that Bam is the key to solving this more?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the direction we're heading just because people are going to point to him in his contract. I think Tyler may be more equipped to eventually evolve into that player, but maybe I'm wrong. I mean, y'all know I love Bam, but Brady's onto something in that we want to watch what Kyle does, the decisions that Kyle makes. I mean, even that like last inbounds play, there's certain little decisions like that change throughout the course of a game. So I think that ultimately they're probably going to have to lean on Kyle, because I don't know that any one guy is going to make enough of an impact that way. As much as I say an individual effort, it may need to be Kyle Lowry's individual effort that ends up kind of spearheading that. And I'm super interested to see this team's approach tomorrow night in Brooklyn. Like, this is like a heartbreaking game. You lose. They expected to win. I think that they started to play like they were going to win also. So I'm interested to see how they approach this back-to-back in Brooklyn tomorrow night.
Yeah, and I was going to get to that, and I'll close with that. Before we do, I want to say this. This night is more heartbreaking for me because I would have gone 5 for 5 on my prize picks tonight if I had just bothered to play it. I gave them out on Twitter, but I didn't actually play it tonight. And I wish I had. So because Giannis slipped in just under the number by 0.5 point, that would have given me a 5 for 5. That would have paid out about 20-1 tonight. Anyway, it is what it is. So you go to prizepicks.com, use the code 5FIVE. You get your initial deposit match. Of course, that's the official fantasy partner of the Five Reasons Sports Network. And you can win. Look, if I won, just don't be stupid enough to not play it. Okay. And then you'll do it. We were burying a fish tonight. So I got a little bit sidetracked. We weren't burying. We sent the fish back to sea. So RIP to Shander, my daughter's fish. Anyway, here's my thought on this. Okay. A game like this, can take you one of two directions. Okay. The first direction is, and I saw Naveen, who I follow, and you sent me that text, that tweet, that you can look at this in a positive sense. Your best player was awful. Your second best player didn't contribute offensively like he's contributed of late. The Bucks had a bunch of outlier shooting performances. You had a 14-point lead at one stage of this game where you rally back from the first quarter. And you don't have your starting point guard who's supposed to settle you down the stretch. And you still don't have Oladipo back. And you're on the road against the defending champions, a team that was in danger of slipping further down the standings because they haven't been playing particularly well. So you knew they'd be motivated. You can look at all that and say those are all positives. And I think the Heat will try to channel it that way. But also there is this thing that's happening repeatedly to this team. And that can get in your head a little bit, and they're going to have to put that aside. Okay. And just figure this out from a strategic and mental and emotional standpoint. They're going to have to figure out how they're going to close these games without it getting to be, oh, here we go again. Cause there was a little bit of that tonight from the fans, and you could feel it a little bit from them. Like they looked like shell shocked at the end of the game. And that's happened. It's just happened too many times of late. We shouldn't look past the fact that Tyler Hero had a huge performance tonight. That's not Bubble Hero, okay? That is a much better player than we saw 2 years ago, and that is encouraging. But this is a team, you don't want to see this team until the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, I don't care what the record is. They can beat them, but you don't want to see them in the first or second round. I would much rather, if you're Miami, deal with the Nets, deal with the Sixers, deal with the Bulls for sure, then deal with that, okay? Because that team, they know how to win a championship now. They've done it, okay? And they have confidence down the stretch. And just like the Heat didn't panic, they didn't panic. And so you got to give them credit too. They have three really good players, okay? They got arguably the best player in the world, and they got two guys who complement him perfectly. And both of those guys were big tonight to help Giannis. So, you know, just again, just not enough from Jimmy. And they lose tonight by 120-119. But you can see what the playoffs are going to be like. You got to be with us the whole way. We have a new service. It's called Off the Floor. We're all tweeting it out on Twitter. We're giving you exclusive updates, but also contests, content that you don't get other places. So we're still giving you all the free content here on Five on the Floor and the YouTube channel. But this is more. We already got 30 subs in the first, like, 12 hours of this thing. Okay. So we want to get it to 1,000. So tell everybody about it. It's just $3.05 a month. And you got a week to try it out before you start getting charged. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Regional Sports Network.